Welcome to a designated drinker show limited series, the Do-Gooder Social Hour. Now, we're changing things up just a bit in order to bring center stage to a few folks who are bringing goodness to the world. Now tell me, how could we not toast to that? And to accompany you on this journey into doing good, we recommend crafting yourself a cocktail that is nothing but goodness in a glass. And for this episode, we suggest a holiday colada. It's a bit of pineapple rum, white rum, fresh pineapple juice, and coconut water topped with just a few bubbles. And to find the recipe, all you need to do is scroll down into the episode notes. And of course, you know you'll always be able to find it on designateddrinker.show. And don't worry, we'll be right here waiting for you. Well, hello everyone and welcome to the show. I am your host, Louise Salas, and today's guest has a goal to make you dance like no one's watching and eat like there's no tomorrow, all while breaking down cultural barriers. But first, let's talk K-pop, shall we? Stay with me here. I promise this will all make sense. I promise. So K-pop, we all know it, the upbeat and infectious music coming out of South Korea, it's literally taking the world by storm. But what makes K-pop so unique and addictive, believe it or not, well, it's the way it masterfully blends different cultural elements into really fun and quirky music. It's true experience. So let's take the one that everyone knows, Psy's Gangnam Style. It's hilarious and it's a satirical take on a lavish lifestyle in Seoul. It's a Gangnam district and it incorporates elements of hip hop, electric dance music, and even traditional Korean folk music. And what's the result? A cultural fusion that has captured the hearts all around the world. Whether you love it or hate it, you can't help but tap your toe to it. Right? I'm not a big K-pop fan, but I can see why it's really addictive, right? So the really cool thing, and again, each one of the guests inspired this. I know you can't believe that you inspired me to go down the rabbit hole of K-pop, but it's because it's infusing cultures. Again, going down this rabbit hole, many K-pop songs feature lyrics in multiple languages, include English, Japanese, and Chinese. And the music videos, we've all seen them, showcase a mix of traditional and modern Korean fashions and choreography. So the next time you're dancing to your favorite K-pop song, because I know Alex does it all the time, remember that you are not just enjoying some catchy tunes, you're actually experiencing a unique cultural fusion that brings people from different backgrounds together through the power of music. And speaking of those who bring people together through music and food, I might add, brings me to today's guest. She is the mind, the woman, the mind, the everything behind a taste of the DMV Food and Music Festival. She is Shay Etheridge. Welcome to the show, Shay.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on the show.
So how many times have people related you to K-pop?
You know what? No, it's kind of funny. I've had one other person do that because I used to, at my previous events, I used to have a lot of K-pop dance groups there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and my daughter is a big fan of K-pop, so like...
Of course she is.
Yeah, she's seven and she's on it. Blackpink, it's like everywhere. So yeah, I actually had one reference to that because of how we do pull things together and things that you don't see all the time.
Yeah, so I'm glad I didn't insult you because it was really about just going down the fact that you have this great, which you're going to get there, this great vision about bringing people together through music is how I got there. So, like I said, we want to learn all about the festival, but I'd love for our audience to get to know just a little bit about you. How did this all start for you? Where did this begin? Take us all the way to the beginning.
Okay, well, this started back in, I say maybe 2016. I used to do events, things like that, smaller events, and I actually started out doing cannabis events, you know, like music and things where people could go hang out, like when, you know, I-71 first came out, and a lot of like-minded people wanted to find a place to hang out together, you know, a safe place that was fun and there was things going on. You know, some people don't drink.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always those people that want to do something else. And then I kind of figured out that I wanted to do something else where I could reach more people, but kind of keep the same, you know, the aspect of entertainment and things like that. So what I decided to do was, you know, try my hand at big events that were regular, that a lot of people could come to, you know, parents, their kids, teenagers, all kind of people. So I feel like it really started there when I just decided that I wanted to try to do bigger and better and see where, you know, where my bird could fly.
But were you always in the event space? Were you in the hospitality space? How did...
Yeah. Well, You know what? That is true. I started out, I actually started managing a bar when I was 19.
Oh, well.
In Boston. Right.
Well, hello. I don't know if everyone knows liquor laws on this show, but whoops.
No, it's a bar lounge. It's a bar lounge. I managed like the food part, but I did do a lot of the purchase ordering and stuff like that, and hired a lot of the people that worked there. So during that, they had me start doing the events there. So I kind of learned how to pull people together and just incorporate the food, the drinks, and just a lot of different things, the components that I felt would bring people in and keep them there.
Yeah.
So that's really how it started. The one thing I can say is the hospitality. I learned how to deal with a lot of different people, all kinds of people, you know, people that I probably would never meet in my regular life. Yeah. You know, older people, younger people, I learned a lot. And I feel like it really translated to helping me kind of figure out what people like and, you know, what I felt would bring a good, solid event.
You know, I think that what you said is really true about the food and beverage industry is that even if you go on to other things in your life, I started off like many people in college. I first started off in restaurants when I was, to your point, I was way underage and was working at a family-owned Italian restaurant when I was 13.
That's where I started.
And I would bus tables, and like you bring out the bread baskets and you would bus tables, and I would work for tips on Friday and Saturday night. And that's and then when I got older, I worked in Jewish deli every summer, and then ended up bartending through college, you know, serving tables off and on between there, and then bartending eventually. My point to all of that is that I think the service industry, hospitality industry, really teaches you that it gives you such a great work ethic, because to your point, you have everyone comes, you never know who's going to sit down in your seat.
That's true.
They're kind of come from all walks of life and all different moods and all the things. They all want the same thing. They all want perfect service, which, you know, good luck. But you learn how to dance. You learn how to be service people, even when you don't want to, because you're bread and butter if you don't. Pun intended on that bread and butter comment, but.
Sorry about that. That's funny.
Yeah, but I think that working in the food and beverage and service industry really gives you such a strong foundation of just moving into any other part of your life, your career.
So yeah, I really feel like the service industry has put me to where I've been. Just meeting so many people, learning so many different kinds of people, you know, older, younger. I really feel like it's helped me to learn how to just deal with all kinds of people. I would not be as far as I am in my professional life or in my personal life for that much. Just because even on the smallest scale, like my family, for instance, they're all different.
Yeah.
So it's helped me learn how to deal with everyone.
I do think it will just round you out. I mean, it's a tough industry. I don't know if people understand. And if everyone's listening, tip better than you used to. You might not be getting the service you're accustomed to, but the food and beverage industry is short on staff. People are overworked. And just be happy that you're being served. And tip, start at 20%.
Right.
Start at 20. That's 20 is like somebody said hello to you.
Right, yeah. And the main thing is, if you don't like something, 90% of the time, it is not your server's fault.
Yeah. No, they didn't cook it.
Right. They didn't cook it. You know, 9 times out of 10, if it's a drink you didn't like, they didn't make it.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta be good to people, because I feel like that return, it's always come back in good karma.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's true to life, right?
Right,
life,
definitely.
I think so. Do you consider yourself like a serial entrepreneur then? Like, you seem to like...
Actually, yeah, I would say that. I kind of feel like there are so many different things that I want to do. So once I can accomplish one thing, even if I'm not completely done with it, I try to hop on to the next idea. Like opening my own lounge.
Yeah.
That's something that I did back in 2016. I was doing really good events, and I kind of felt like instead of paying somebody every month, why not get my own event space?
Yeah.
So I found a really nice place by the convention center and kind of made some things happen. So that's a really big, you know, kind of accomplishment. And I feel like, you know, that's just one thing that being a serial entrepreneur has helped me with. It's opened me up to a lot of the different options that are there.
It's interesting. I've started a couple of businesses. I mean, well, two. I had a branding agency when I lived in Hawaii quite a few years ago, and now I own Missing Link, which owns this podcast. I don't know that I break up well. Like, I don't think I'm serial because I don't know that I walk. I'm a Cancer. I think like once I make the nest, I don't really. I'm not afraid to do new things. I like to grow the nest. Look at me. I don't know. I'm asking for personal advice. Maybe I should lay down on this couch or something. I don't know. But yeah, I don't. I should learn from you to walk away. Sometimes when it's over, right? Yeah. I've also been married 30 years, so.
I've been with somebody for 10 years, and I'm still like, am I ready to get married? That's such a big commitment. So, but we're doing good, though.
Good.
Yeah, I didn't mean to make it sound like that. No. I don't like this guy.
No, that's hilarious. No, I just wonder, like, because I know that you have, like, put your fingers in quite a different spaces and dabbled for a while in them. So I kind of, I'm like a, I guess, stay there. I don't know. So, are you from the D.C. area then? Is that why it's home? Tell me a little bit about your background.
Okay, so actually, I was born in Washington, D.C.
Wow, look at you. One of like three people I've met in 15 years that actually born in D.C.
Yeah, but yes, I was born in D.C. at Washington Hospital Center. But I actually moved to Columbia, Maryland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when I was a child, went to elementary, middle school there. Lived with my grandparents, grew up with them. They were really good people, you know. So, started there. And then eventually I moved to Montgomery County. So I stayed out there for a long time. And then once I kind of figured out that I wanted to start in the entertainment and things like that, mm-hmm. I kind of felt like D.C. was more of the place that I wanted to be. There were more locations. There was just more happening there. So I moved to D.C. and I've just been in the area for...
So why the multicultural piece for you?
The multicultural piece is because I'm very multicultural. My family is. My mother's Trinidadian, which encompasses a lot of different things.
Oh, I have Trini fans.
Yeah, so you know, it's a lot. So we're good, we're fun, we're good people. And my kid's father is Bolivian.
Gotcha.
And Chilean.
Yeah.
So we have a lot going on. Our family is very multicultural.
That's great.
And I think that's something that's important because this area is a big transient area. There's a lot of people that come through here. I think more than anything, this is more of a multicultural area than anywhere else that I've lived. And I've lived in California, which, was a great experience.
Yeah.
But I think D.C. is such a great place. And for the events, I feel like it's got to be multicultural because you have so many people and you want to do something that can reach out to everyone.
No, I totally agree. It's I always explain living here in D.C. because this is not I'm not from here. And I guess I've been here now since 2008. So for quite a while now. But I always say you could be sitting somewhere in the area and hear five different languages. And I'm lucky if I understand three of them or like understand where they're coming from. Not that I understand what they're saying, but at least I can identify them. Meaning it's so diverse and people come from all corners of the world here. I think in other places, you can say like when I lived in Hawaii, it's multicultural from an Asian standpoint. Like there are people from so many places throughout Asia and in smaller parts that, you know, I was like, oh, I have a friend from Laos and Thailand. And I got to learn all the differences of the cultural differences there where growing up in the Midwest, it was all kind of like one because I didn't have enough exposure to people from different parts of that part of the world. Here, I think there are people that come from like countries that I go, oh, I know that I should need to look that one up. Like, you know.
Right, yeah. Very multicultural.
And I think it's great. So I think you're spot on. I just wanted to, I knew you had a little extra in there and I wanted to get to that.
Yeah, and you know what? And I really like the multicultural aspect because I feel like here people mix very well. People hang out together very well. Where in a lot of places it was very multicultural, but it wasn't a great mix
pocketed.
Of people, right?
Yeah,
it wasn't like in
these
little,
little
areas.
Yeah.
But I feel like here, everyone can live together and it's very, I think it's really cool. I like it.
I'm sure it has a lot to do with the fact that there are so many people from so many places that you even get to the point where, I mean, it's funny that I didn't know anyone from Trinidad until I lived here. Yeah. And if I did, I didn't know they were from Trinidad. You know what I mean?
I think there's a lot of Trini people here.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't know why. The weather's a lot better there.
Right. No, I mean, there's definitely got to be a dot on the map. Like, if you're going to come, this is the place.
So give us just a little bit, give the audience just a little bit about what to expect of that Taste of DMV.
Well, at a Taste of DMV, I think you can expect a lot of things. You can expect a concert with over 30 different acts. We have 10 bands.
Wow.
We've got 10 bands. We've got some great ones. We've got a band called The Rizzards. Guys, to go check them out.
Rizzards?
The Rizzards.
Tell me that. Tell me, who are they? What is it? Okay. Music.
The Rizzards are a really good band. Like, I wouldn't even know what to classify them at. But I would say, like, if you like people like Bruno Mars or, like, just really chill music, there's somebody that's really great. There's four of them. They're a complete band. And they're definitely somebody to watch out for the future, because I could see them blowing up and being really big.
And it would be really cool to see them in a small fest.
Right, it would. We've got all kinds. We have rock bands. We have cover bands, alternative bands, a lot of Latin bands. We have some rap. We have a little bit of something for everybody. We have some Greek DJs.
Are you gonna Greek?
Yeah, we have a DMVJ stage. Now, I don't know how the listeners are, but if you know about, you know, the VJs from MTV, we kind of did a little play on that.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So, yeah, we just have a lot of, we have about 7 local DJs.
Oh, wow.
They'll be playing for an hour each in their own personal style.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. And then we have a performance stage where we'll have dancers, you know, not singing performances, but every other performance of the type, and they're all local to the DMV. Nobody's from outside of it.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, we don't take any artists from outside of the DMV.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because we have such great entertainment. We have such great vibe here, so we don't need anything from outside. We want to keep it straight for the city and for the area.
Yeah, that's great. And what part of the city will the festival be held at?
The festival will be held by Capitol Hill. It's going to be on Pennsylvania Avenue between 3rd and 7th, but the main gate will be at 3rd Avenue.
Gotcha. And if anyone doesn't know where Pennsylvania Avenue is, you need to go back to your American history class.
Yes, it'll be really fun in Northwest. As long as you can see the Capitol building, you know you're there.
Exactly, exactly. And listen for the music and for the wonderful smelling food.
Yes.
All right, so I think this is going to bring us to the end of part one. But don't worry. It's the end of part one with the woman behind A Taste of the DMV Food and Music Festival, Shay Etheridge. But again, like I said, don't worry. Just go grab another drink, because we have a whole lot more to discuss. And so you need to get ready for part two with Shay. Cheers. The Designated Drinker Show is produced by Missing Link, a Latino-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, we craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Also in the Missing Link lineup of podcasts is Roger That, a podcast dedicated to guiding you through the haze of dementia, led by skilled caregivers. Now, if you're looking for a whole new way to enjoy the theater, check out Between Acts, an immersive audio theater podcast experience. Each episode takes you on a spellbinding journey through the works of newfound playwrights, from dramas to comedies and everything in between. Find Missing Link's League of Podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And while you're there, please don't forget to follow, download, and review the shows. Your reviews help our shows reach new audiences. To find out more about Missing Link, visit missinglink.company. That's missinglink.company.